Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And welcome to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Our phone number 855-853-4802. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
I didn't see any ghosts at lunch.
No.
I did not see any ghosts at lunch.
Okay.
Because we went to a place that I commonly ask the question of, how come we don't see any ghosts here?
And my argument is because nobody loves these animals.
What can you? What about when you love them after death?
I don't know.
Could that then?
I think it's too late.
It's too late at that point?
Yeah, I think it's too late.
Of course, you're talking about the Colonel, the chicken place. But no ghosts.
No.
I'm just feeling the ghosts afterward. That's all of the chicken.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can always write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Seeing Ghosts Episode 3. It is, it should be out by around now. By the time this episode is hitting the air, I have the show all put together on this end. And at the time of recording, have not recorded, but it'll be out by the time this thing hits the air. It's February 1st, 2016, everyone.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Okay.
That's what today is.
Okay.
Just so everyone knows.
Sounds good.
We record a little bit in advance, but that's what's going on. So be sure to check that out. Some really good, creepy photos on there. Do you want to see any of them? Do you want me to ever, like, send those to you to see? Or are you good without witnessing them? You're good with the stories, but I know the visuals kind of...
I'm good. I'm good without them. I am.
Can't just get them and, like, put them in, like, picture frames around the house and...
No.
On the nightstand?
And I know some of our listeners do send them to both of us.
Sure. Do you look? Or do you just forward?
Well, I see, first of all, if you got it too. And if you got it too, then I just file it.
Okay.
But if you didn't, then I just forward.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
The dynamics of how this show works. Let's go to our first caller today at Real Ghost Stories Online. And like I said, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. So feel free to call or write in. Let's take a listen. Hi.
Hello, my name is Elena. I recently discovered your show, and I absolutely love it. I've been trying to work up the courage to call in with my story for a little while now, and it's kind of unusual in my estimation, and I'd really like to hear what you guys think and if you've heard any similar stories. So here goes. About a decade ago, I was living in Denver, and in early fall one night, my roommate and I were going out to a bar to meet some people we had just met a few nights ago. So we walked to the bar, and we met up with the people, and pretty quickly into the meeting, I started feeling just really weird, really negative, just heavy and strange, and the feeling was both kind of coming from the people we were meeting with and just kind of around me in general, almost like a cartoon of, you know, a black cloud following me around is kind of how it felt. So the longer we were there, the more the feeling grew, and eventually it just became this really overwhelming, ominous feeling that something was trying to get inside me. And I couldn't see anything strange, but I kind of felt like a black presence in my peripheral vision, kind of up by the ceiling. And whenever I would try to look at it, there would be nothing there, but the feeling remained. And eventually it got bad enough to where I told my roommate, we need to go. I'm not feeling right. I feel really strange. And we left. And thinking that maybe I was just being anxious or something, I went for a walk and tried to eat, and then eventually went to another bar, did whatever I could think of to do to make this feeling that I was having go away. But instead of going away, it just got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I really felt like I was being followed around by a black presence that was really heavy and dark, and that was trying to invade me. That was the best way I can think of to describe the feeling. So I was kind of starting to panic, and I didn't really know what to do. Nothing was making it any better. And then either my roommate or I remembered that we have a close friend who works as a psychic and is a sensitive and a spellcaster. And we decided to call him and ask for advice. So I called him up, and I was really scared. And he gave me a ritual to do that involved using a butter knife and kind of running it all along the edges of my skin over my whole body. And the point was to cut ties from whatever this presence was that was following me around. And so I did that, said a few things that he told me to say, and the feeling went away. I have experienced it again a couple of times, just this feeling of a black presence in the corner of the room wanting to invade me. It's never been as intense since that first time. And it's gone away a lot faster, too. I still don't know what it is, though, and I've never really heard anyone else talk about anything like this. So the last time it came to me, it was only there for one night. I heard clearly someone whisper my name, and I was alone in my house, alone in my room. And after that night, it was gone. Since then, it hasn't come back, and I hope it never does, because it's very scary. Anyway, I would love to hear your thoughts. If you've heard any stories like this, I'd love to hear that as well. I hope to hear it on the show. Thank you for your podcast. Be well. Bye.
I almost wonder if it wasn't something that was attached to one of the people she was meeting, and then it just decided to switch hosts.
It makes you wonder, because it sounded a lot like, you know, the way that she was describing it was that she was feeling it with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of initiated.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it makes you wonder, was it something that is just jumping from person to person and really had nothing to do with those people? You know, because if suddenly it's jumped onto her,
mm-hmm.
you could assume that it's not necessarily conjured up by those individuals that she was meeting with. So maybe they were just, you know, conduits as well.
Okay.
For whatever it may be. So, because I think a lot of times the first thing you jump to, not you personally, but,
sure.
you know, we in general jump to is, you know, well, what's up with that person? Why, you know, mm-hmm. why would this dark thing be there? And I think sometimes we overlook that possibility that maybe it's nothing to do with that person at all. It's just that person ended up being the fun victim of whatever the hell it is that's moving around. And that just ended up being the carrier for it.
Yeah, it could be.
For whatever period of time.
She just had interesting wording in reference to those people that she was meeting. So mm-hmm. that's what made me wonder if it had something to do with them.
What was did I miss that part? The preface of that, of what they were meeting for? What was the purpose?
I think they were just getting together.
Getting together with some mm-hmm. friends, and then this is just that weird vibe there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Thank you for that story, and thank you for sharing your experience with us. That's one of those that I think a lot of people can probably relate to and go, I felt like that before and had no real explanation for, but you're not alone. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. Sorry, had something there for a minute. This is the second message I've left. The first one got cut off, so I may have to do this in a twofer. My name's Yesenia. I'm from Arizona. And I guess you could say, especially after listening to your guys' show, I've definitely realized I've had a lot of weird experiences or whatnot. I'm definitely sensitive, and I have a lot of stories to call in and tell you guys about. But I figured I would start from the beginning, and the first thing that I can really remember. When I was a little kid, probably about 4 or 5 or 6, I think, my grandparents used to come from California to go and see the NASCAR races. And I woke up one night, like probably about 3 or 4 in the morning, to get up and go to the bathroom. And I was always afraid of the dark when I was a little kid. And the way that the house is kind of set up, in a really simple way of putting it, is there's a door to the garage, then our living room, a hallway, and then like a little corner, and then the guest bedroom, my brother's bedroom, a closet in between my brother's bedroom and my bedroom, kind of like at an L, and then, you know, my bedroom, my parents' bedroom. But I would wake up, I got up that night, and I went and turned the hall light on, and I remember peeking around the corner and seeing my grandfather, or what I thought was my grandfather, standing in front of the garage door. And he was wearing exactly what he was wearing earlier that day to go out to the races. And I remember just thinking, you know, like, what the hell? Like, what is Grandpa doing? And he looked at me and he said, "Senya, I have something to show you. Come with me." And I was standing there, like, in front of the bathroom door with the hall light on and everything, and I was just like, "Grandpa, like, what are you doing? It's late, you know, I don't want to go, I need to use the bathroom." And he kept telling me, like, "No, come with me, I want to show you something, I want to show you something really cool." And right as I was about to go and start walking down the hallway, my grandpa, my actual grandpa, came out of the spare bedroom. And we just kind of looked at each other for a minute, and I looked down the hallway, and the thing that I thought was my grandpa was just completely gone. And I remember my grandpa just looking at me and just kind of being like, "So are you going to use the bathroom or not?" And it was just a weird kind of thing. Like, as a kid, I didn't think about it much, but definitely now that I'm older, and especially after having so many other things happen to me, which I'm definitely going to have to call back and talk to you guys about, because I hear you guys talk about hotels a lot, and I used to work at a hotel, so I definitely have some stories about that. But, yeah, I just wanted to call and tell you guys about my first experience. I love the show, and I am planning on becoming an EPP with my first paycheck from my new job. But thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for calling and sharing your story.
Doppelganger Grandpa.
That's creepy.
Yeah, especially when you know that nobody else saw him.
Yeah.
You know? It would have been really fun if Grandpa had come out and saw his doppelganger right there. But, of course, they're always gone right in the nick of time.
It's best not to disturb the elderly with things of that nature.
I always
look back, because I mean, and when you're a little kid, you don't even think of those sort of things. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like everybody's fair game. And I loved scaring people. I scared my grandma all the time, and there were so many times where she'd be like, and then she'd stand there and have to take a breath, you know, because uh-huh. I'd be like, "Boo!" but being scared is not what took her down eventually. It was something else, but it's just one of those things where you just do it.
Sure.
I just love freaking people out. I will get payback for that at some point in my life.
At some point, it
will come back to haunt me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of haunted hotels, a listener sent this in to us, and I thought it was really interesting. Here's your next wonderful, luxurious vacation destination. You ready?
Okay.
The government of Montenegro has given the go-ahead to turn a site that was once used as
I don't even have any idea.
Any guesses?
No.
Anyone? Bueller? Nothing? A concentration camp into a luxury holiday resort. And this is on an island. I'll read the story here, and this is from BuzzFeed. The fortress on Mamala Island, located in the Antarctic Sea off the coast of Montenegro, was used as a concentration camp when occupied by Italian forces during World War II. Italian military documents have suggested that more than 100 people were killed and 2,000 imprisoned in the camp, according to Balkan Insight. Several restaurants, a beach club, a VIP lounge, spa, and DJ man dance floor are all planned for the development. And there's all these pictures here, you know, like the computer generated. And here's what we're going to do. Like what you see in the Fixer Upper show when they're doing a farmhouse and putting in shiplap and a nice custom barnwood table.
Uh-huh.
It's like that, but except it's like the pool and the spa and the palm trees and everything else that they're going to be putting and placing around the existing brick, layout of this camp. They're not tearing it down. It looks like it's a giant, you know, like sea fortress type looking. It's like kind of a circular building. It's what you see, you know, in existing, many of them crumbling away, forts and such that are located on islands.
Okay.
Except it's been in a little bit better shape because it's been, you know, just there. It's not, you know, we're not talking, you know, hundreds of years old. We're talking, you know, 70, you know, ish mm-hmm. years old. And it's all stone. So it's held up pretty well. And it's just, I don't know, if anything is going to be a haunted resort, this would be it. There's a kind of an uproar of people going, hey, my grandma was like imprisoned there.
Yeah.
There's still people alive who were imprisoned there. And mm-hmm. now we're considering turning it into a luxury resort spa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is just,
I don't even know how I'd feel if they leveled it and then built something on top of that spot, let alone using the existing structures and a retrofit hotel.
You know, there's certain things in history that I think can be repurposed rather than just knocking them down. But this is not one of them.
No.
Now, when it comes to like concentration camps of any sort, that, I mean, I'm not such a keen eye, and I'm not really big on, I don't think you should knock them down either. I mean, if the forces that are where that country is, the governments are able to keep them up and have them as a historical museum of some sort, mm-hmm. so we don't forget what happened in these places.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always the best thing to do from a historical standpoint and a learning standpoint. There's plenty of like museums that can be turned, and I'm fine with turning some of these into museums and leaving other parts of them as they are, but keeping them up. Not retrofitting it into a spa resort. That just seems a little odd.
Was there no other space to do this? I mean,
I don't know.
What?
I don't know if it's like prime real estate or what it is. Uh-huh. I mean, it's an island.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're just trying to find something to do with this thing. I'd say if you have nothing to do with it and you don't have the funding in your country to keep it up and, you know, into a museum, then I just let it be a monument to what it was. Just don't touch it. Just let it. Eventually, the earth will reclaim it,
yeah.
In time. But, you know, make sure nobody's going out to there where they're going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is the solution for a former concentration camp.
Yeah.
And when I say that about historical buildings and things of the past, you know, I'm on the fence with some of the things where it's like some of these larger old state hospitals that now we're seeing are turning into different things. That's different than a concentration camp.
Okay, it is very different than a concentration camp, of course.
But horrible stuff has happened in a lot of these, too.
Sure.
It's just, I don't know. I mean, some of those, you know, I don't know. I'm on the fence of, you know, what can you do with them? What should you do with them? I don't know.
I think a place that was a site of any kind of torture.
Sure. I mean, well, it
should not be turned into some kind of luxurious, relaxing, sure. Let's go here for fun.
I don't think it'll work out well in either case.
No.
But I mean, you have a little more well-documented things of torture in something like a concentration camp, or not necessarily, I mean, just not good things versus some of these other locations where it's, you know, it's common knowledge, but it's a little different.
Of course. Of course. I still think either one. It's yeah. just, I don't know.
Either one, I don't think I would pick as my my vacation destination mm-hmm. of choice ever. So, interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Add that to your travel list. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller.
Hey, guys. This is Lindsay from San Jose, California. I just started listening to your show about maybe a week ago, and you guys are great. Great duo. The woman sounds like Gwen Stefani. I know that's random, but anyways, on to my story. So the backstory is on this, that this was a time that I was dealing with an eating disorder and also a little bit of alcoholism, which is obviously a horrible combination. My husband and I were visiting the Queen Anne Hotel in San Francisco, California. So around there and on the premises of the hotel, they have ghost tours. I think I went on one with my friend who was visiting from LA. Also, my husband came. Nothing happened then, you know. So, I mean, it's a beautiful hotel. I love all the history of it and everything, how it looks Victorian and just lush and creepy and dingy and dark and just, you know, fascinating. We took photos around and basically we were just there to adventure around inside and look at all the paintings and just take photos and be silly and whatnot, not trying to ask any spirits to come join us or whatever, none of that. So that's my cat. We were on, I believe, the second or third floor, and I think I was in the front, and my husband and my friend visiting were behind me. We were walking down this hallway, and I mean, I've heard of people talking about having this cold wave or presence wash over them or walk through them or whatnot. I can't even explain what happened or put it into words because there is really no word for me to, you know, accurately describe to someone how it felt to me. It was just this sudden feeling of cold, darkness, sadness, horror, fear. I mean, just all that stuff combined into one. I have never felt anything like that before in my life. We weren't even at the end of the hallway. It was just a thing that I guess you could say I walked through. I don't know. I can't even, like, just the horror on my face, you know, my face dropped and, you know, I panicked and I basically screamed and ran all the way downstairs to the lobby. I was, like, shaking and crying and, you know, I was really confused. I was like, what was that? And so another part of my background is I was raised Southern Baptist, and my mother is very religious. And, you know, I've heard some ghost stories from my grandmother, and, you know, my mom is just, you know, really religious. I've had a couple of instances that really make me firmly believe that there is a God and it exists. So, you know, I'm also very sensitive to that. So, you know, I'm guessing, judging by the fact that I was in a really horrible place mentally, physically, you know, struggling hardcore with addictions, I was very susceptible to that spirit or, you know, presence of something. So I guess it's no surprise that that happened to me because my husband and friend, you know, felt nothing. And my friend was actually super jealous that I had that experience because she's just one of those crazy ghost hunting people. And she wanted, you know, that experience and she always wants that and it hasn't happened and yada yada. And honestly, I really don't wish that feeling on, you know, my worst enemy. To this day, you know, I just get really emotional and it was just crazy, and I cannot deny that feeling of just the worst feeling in the world. So, funnily enough, my friend wanted me to spend the night there that night because we were supposed to go to an event the next day, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me, not happening. That's that. My main story there that I really wanted to call in and tell you guys. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're able to use it on your show, and keep up the good work. You guys are great. Thanks so much. Okay. Bye.
thanks for sharing your experience with us. And that's so true. So many people are like, oh, I want to see the ghost. I want to experience it. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that it's not always just, oh, I got to see a ghost.
No, you don't get to pick what your experience is.
No, it's you get the roulette wheel of what is this ghost experience going to be like. You luck out if you just happen to see it in passing. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's spooky. But unfortunately, a lot of times there's a lot of other emotions involved and, you know, everything from it feeling like it's enveloping you yourself to, you know, all the array of human emotions and feelings that can all come along with such an experience.
Oh, yeah.
So tell your friend to just keep wishing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller and hear your story.
Hi, Bruce. My name is Jared. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I don't know if you got my other story, but I'll retell it to you because I was walking back home and it was really loud car noises and whatnot. So here's my story. When I was growing up at my parents' house, they lived in like the wooded area way out there in the boonies, and I always got a creepy vibe of that place, but I guess I was the only one. My mom says she's seen stuff, but that's later on down the line. But my first paranormal experience there was I think I was in sixth grade, and I was in the middle of the night, and I woke up. I'll tell you, I might like this, but I had a bunk bed, and I was sleeping on the top bunk. I only got one because I always had friends over and whatnot. But I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and my bunk bed was right next to the big. I had a big window, so I could look outside if I wanted to. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was knocking on my wall right next to the window. There was three knocks. But it kept repeating. So it's like 1, 2, 3, stop for a bit, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, you know, knocking, of course. And it really scared me. And I got really scared, and I wanted to look out the window, but I don't know what it was. And I was just, I don't know what made me do it, but I knocked back. And then it started knocking really rapidly, you know, back on my wall out from the outside. And I got really, really scared at that point. And I actually just said, I don't know why I didn't even call my parents or anything. I guess that I just didn't want to wake them up. But I yelled at my wall, which I'm surprised my parents didn't wake up. I yelled, go away. Get out of here. And then all of a sudden there was a big boom, like a big pound. The wall. After that, there was nothing. It was quiet. And I just went back to bed, you know, and I was really scared. And I told my parents about it in the morning, and they said they didn't hear anything. They didn't even hear me yell, which was the weirdest part. Another story around my area where I live at, you know, a bunch of people live there too. I guess you could say it's like kind of like a community. I saw a bunch of like, shadow people, seeing them peek out behind trees. And when I walked down to my friend's house to visit him, it always felt like there was a second pair of footsteps walking behind me. And then, you know, and like there's these like buildings in the back that are abandoned now. They used to be like our old housing units. You could see them walk in there. And I always avoided that area. I didn't really like that. But in the morning time it was fine, but at night time it always gave me the creeps. I got other stories. If you're interested, let me know on the show. I really hope to hear my story when I get my finances back up. I am hopefully becoming an EPP, I believe it's called. I have lots of other stories. Hope I hear my story on the show. All right, again, my name is Jared. Bye.
I think he pissed it off when
he
hit the wall, and or when he yelled to for it to go away, and then it hit the wall back.
Mm-hmm.
That's never a good thing when you take something that you don't understand or know what it is and
aggravate it.
And I know he just wanted it to go away, but
Sure.
That might be why there's more stories.
Sometimes you have to be polite to them, it seems. It yeah. seems manners do apply.
Even in your own house, you have to be polite.
Yeah, even if they are not invited there.
Right.
Sometimes manners work with getting rid of ghosts. It sounds insane, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd how that can work. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's interesting, the various ways that people misinterpret EPP. I've seen everything from EAP, PPE, or EPP, and every weird combination you can think of.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't wait to be an EPA, or it's like, sure. Then I'm like, what is the, like, then I'm trying to, like, figure out, what in their mind are they thinking that stands for, or this or that? In case you're new to the show, and you're wondering what EPP is, EPP stands for Extra Podcast Person, and what that means is, those people get an extra podcast every single week beyond the free episodes that we release. So they get that, and that EPP episode, which comes out on Fridays, is packed with some of the best stories that we have. It's not a repeat. It's not a greatest hits. It's exclusive content that only EPPs get, along with exclusive video content as well. It's $5 a month, and that's what helps to keep this show on the air. So if you like the show, you want it to continue on and get all that extra bonus stuff, access to all of the previous EPP episodes, you can sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. First off, just wanted to tell you, I just recently started listening to your podcast and absolutely love it. So just wanted to share some of my personal stories. This one happened when I was real young, probably about 6 or 7. And it was real late at night, and I was awoken, I don't really know how or why, but I looked at the doorway to our bedroom. At the time, I was sleeping, sharing a bed, bunk bed with my younger brother. And I looked at the doorway, and I could clearly see a figure of what appeared to be a woman that had long hair. And I could tell she was a complete black shadow, except on the edge of the shadow, it was outlined in light. It was like a dark shadow, but then an outline of this glowing golden light. And being I had just woken up, I kind of looked at it and kind of my eyes adjusted. And I called out my sister's name, thinking it was her standing there. And there was no response. And I called out again, and I go, you know, what are you doing? Why aren't you in bed? And still no response. And then it just stood there, and I was kind of freaked out. And then that's all I remember. I don't remember seeing it disappear, or I don't remember it, you know, like fading away. That's all I remember. But I guess it really shook me up, because my parents tell me the next morning I was telling them about it in great detail, and it must have scared them pretty good, because we were supposed to drive down to my grandma's that day and visit, and they actually canceled the trip because they were afraid it was maybe an omen or just, you know, something trying to tell them. They were just afraid to travel, you know, after me seeing that. And I still, to this day, don't know what it was. I do have a grandma that died before I was even born, and I never got to ever meet her. And sometimes I wonder if it was ever just her standing there. I'll never know. But the present, I never got the feeling that it was evil or harmful or anything like that. I thought it was just, honestly, I thought it was a real person, my sister, just standing in the doorway. But it wasn't, and to this day, I still don't know what it was, and just would like to hear your thoughts. Thanks a lot. Love your podcast. Bye.
That's one of those cases where you kind of wonder if whatever it was intending to be seen, or if it just happened to have that flicker or that that right sensitive person be able to pick up on them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's like, oh, there's a purpose here to this meeting or mm-hmm. experience, or they're like getting a message across, or it seems that there's some sort of intent there. And then you have this where it's like, no, they're just there.
And you don't see them again.
Yeah. Are they always there? Was there some reason why I suddenly saw you? So I don't. It's hard to say if it's, you know, an omen or any real meaning to it, or if it's just, you know, there's the spirit world that's out there, and every once in a while, for whatever reason, we catch a glimpse of it, and that's really all there is to it. Maybe there's not always this, you know, this deeper meaning that I think a lot of times we seek out when we have such a, you know, extreme experience of seeing a ghost, but maybe there really isn't much more to it other than you happened to catch them on their daily routine too.
I think it's interesting with the story that the parents not only listened but took to heart exactly what he said he saw.
Sure.
You know, to the point of canceling their visit.
Yeah. It wasn't just, oh, that's great. You go play more with those Legos.
Right.
You know, because that's often the case. But a good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Anthony from Tennessee. This ghost story, it's not really a ghost story. It's more like a deep feeling that I had, that I feel like that was my grandmother that passed away when I was 4 years old. Recently, my kids were in town with me, and my son was in his room asleep. My daughter was laying down with my dad. And I was getting ready to leave for work, and I done what I always do. I went and checked on my son, make sure he was asleep. Went and checked on my daughter, make sure she was asleep. Well, I had made a family tree collage for school when I was in school. And it had a picture of my grandmother, Cleo, on it. And after I checked on my daughter, now the portrait is right outside my dad's room. And so I checked on my daughter, and then it's like something come over me. I had no recollection of this until my body was forced to do it. It was made to look right at her picture, and it spun me around, and then there was a family picture of me, my ex-wife, and my kids on the wall opposite of the family tree. And I looked right at my daughter. And in the picture of my family, which was me, my ex-wife, and two kids, it's like all the rest of us got blurred out but my daughter. So I don't know if that's her, you know, telling me that, hey, she's looking down on my daughter. And I don't know what to make of it, so I was hoping y'all could give me some hints. I really enjoy the show. My cousin got me hooked on it about a month ago, and I plan on becoming an EPP tomorrow or tonight as soon as I get off work. But y'all keep up the great job. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for becoming an EPP. It's really hard to know exactly what the intent there is.
You know, it's funny, before he said that he wondered if that was a message that she's looking over the granddaughter, made me kind of wonder if that wasn't where he was going with this, because of having to see those two pictures, you know, and something forcing him to focus on those two people.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of message of connecting those two.
Sure.
It's just, what is that message exactly?
You know, is it a message that's saying, maybe, you know, and in no way am I saying you don't pay attention to your daughter, but maybe there's a message there of maybe keep an extra eye on her. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, maybe there could be some sort of troubling thing that's going to be occurring in her life, in the future, or in the months or years to come. And it's a message of, you know, just, you know, pay a little extra attention there. I don't know. You know, that could be it. I don't know if it's necessarily, I'm not saying it's not either, that she's the one who's watching, or if she was the one who's saying, look, I'm giving you this message from this side because I know something you don't know. Focus here a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get the focus thing, because if he's saying the other part was blurred out, there's a little extra focus on her. Maybe it's her, the grandmother, saying focus more there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I mean, and you can be very focused on your kids, and in no way, like I said, am I saying you're not, But, you know, every once in a while, there's that person that needs a little extra attention for whatever reason, for whatever is going on in their life. And maybe you're unaware that they need that. And that's what the message could be. So that's my guess.
Okay.
Guesstimation of it. There's no way we're going to know the answer to that for sure by any means. But that's what Dr. Brewski says today.
Okay, Dr. Brewski, that sounds like a like Dr. Pepper.
Doesn't it?
It does.
It just has no legitimacy to it whatsoever.
No, it sounds like somebody self-medicating with beer.
Dr. Brewski, my number, but it's still just as compelling as Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Okay, right.
All right, let's go to another caller.
Hi, good afternoon, Tony. My name is Lamar Stanford. I'm from Newark, Delaware. I have a question. First, I'd like to start off by saying I love listening to your show, and I love hearing about other people's experiences with the paranormal, supernatural. But as a Christian, a believer in Christ, I was taught that what we call ghosts are in fact demons in a familiar spirit, enemy, the devil, trying to play a trick on you. And I just wanted to hear what your thoughts are on that. Any feedback on this would be greatly appreciated, because, as I said, I love listening to this, hearing about other people's experiences, but there's a part of me that feels guilty, and that reason is because, you know, again, I was taught that ghosts, things like that, are in fact demons, all of them, whether they're, you know, they're warning people about something bad that's about to happen, anything, you know, it's just the trick of the enemy, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, playing with people's minds, having them believe that it's something other than what it actually is. So, again, want to hear your feedback, and anything would be good. All right, thanks, and I hope to hear this on your show. Okay, keep up the good work, too. Bye.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for the question. I, too, was brought up, you know, with, I think, essentially that same mindset, if you will. And it's a common one. You know, we get it a lot, you know, with people commenting on this and that, and it's only this or it's only that. And, you know, I after doing this show for obviously some time and hearing thousands upon thousands of stories and experiences, I think it's a lot deeper than that. You know, it's a very simple way to take it, and it's a little more palatable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think that there's just so many more levels to it. You know, I think there's certainly good, and this is my opinion of it, and I'm not professing to say that I'm right and you're all wrong. I'm just giving you what I feel after you know, learning these things and experiencing this show and these stories. You know, there's like a ghost family tree, essentially.
Yeah,
is how I look at it. And you could simplistically break it down to good and evil, but I think that there's more, much more to it. And I'll just break down the simple version of it. I think there are ghost people. And for whatever reason, I think sometimes those get looped into the category sometimes of angels. And I don't necessarily know that they are angels. I think sometimes they're just ghost people. And for whatever reason, they're still here and they're still able to communicate. They're able to help people along. Commonly what an angel would do, but maybe they don't have all the powers that an angel, quote unquote, would. And then I think you do have your angelic type figures that are out there. And then I think there's a bunch of other facets of that where there's also, you know, ghost people who are not so good. Do they fall into the evil area? I don't know, because I think sometimes they have the choice of doing good and bad as well, just as people do. Then you have your dark side, dark shit, essentially, that'll call it, where you have, you know, demons, things that were never really human, that weren't here, that would go into his category, I think, of evil.
Right.
And ghosts, or you know, dark spirits and such. And then I think you also have your category, and this is where it kind of gets gray there, too, with the ghost person. That was the ass soul, if you will, that's still out there doing ass soul things. So and there's 50 other categories as well. that subset this and that and how they're appearing, if mm-hmm. you will. I think a lot of times we get caught up in the appearance of what these things are, and then we lose sight of what they, you know, they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
Like a shadow person, it could be good, it could be bad. You don't really know until you are, you know, checking out their actions. There's just so many stories that we have of ghosts, quote unquote, if you will, that are there to do good things. They do good things, and the deed is done, and nothing negative happens. I don't know how you make the argument that that was a demon.
Right, because with stories like that, you know, we're talking, we've had some where it's been decades from the time that the ghost had mm-hmm. that, you know, interaction and did something that was, you know,
yeah,
benevolent, and nothing ever happened. I know that you can make the argument, well, something's going to happen. This is a trick, you
sure.
know? But nothing ever came. And it's like, okay, 50 years, 70 years, how long?
Yeah.
You know, by the time that person's gone, nothing ever happened. So I just can't lump them all in the same group.
Yeah. And I think we live in a time and age now, too, where we can, where we have this, you know, this platform where we can sit here and you can at will sit down and listen to literally thousands of people's experiences and stories, not only in our show, but, you know, on the TV shows and this and mm-hmm. that. And there's such a collective archive of these ghost experiences. It's not just whatever book you could find that was published about it, which you were very limited to, you know, or very few other resources out there. Where these stories can be collected and shared and compared, and it's much easier to make a judgment now, maybe more difficult because there's so many things, but I think it makes a clearer case for a very blurry situation.
Sure. And, you know, I know he says he feels kind of guilty by listening, given his, you know, his mm-hmm. faith base and everything, and we're not here to ever try and change that.
No.
It's just, this is where we're operating from. And the whole goal of this show is to help people connect and realize that others have experienced the same thing.
Sure.
It's only, you know, and positivity and
yeah.
trying to help that we do this. It's never trying to do anything negative.
No, it's not trying to push our outlook over anyone else's. So, I mean, that's, like I said, that's how, you know, I think we feel about it just from doing this show. But that's not to say that we're not completely wrong. It's just an opinion. And that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, you're welcome to develop your own opinion. And I think over time, for most people, you know, it's a good thing to be open to having an opinion change as you learn more. And it doesn't have to, it can, but I like to always be open for my opinion to change if I'm proven wrong, which I often am, and especially with assumptions on ghosts, because there's a lot of times in my mind I had it kind of worked out X way,
uh-huh.
you know, and then you get some story and it's like, oh, well, that really kind of shoots that down, because it can go in this direction too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an ever, you know, I'd say when I started, you know, my thoughts on ghosts as a kid, it was very much how he described it.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, hearing more and more, it's like, oh, well, kind of shoots that down a little bit for me in my bank of opinions. And then it added another level over here. And then another one there and there and there and there and there and there. And it made it much more blurry. But it made it very clear, though, to me, that it wasn't just that black and white.
Right.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number. Do one more call. Hi.
Yeah, my name is Leo. I'm from Texas. I've always had weird experiences ever since I can remember, like as a child, but for sure, I mean, I've seen some things where I was like, I know for sure that was a ghost, like that just doesn't happen and people just do not look like that. And well, they're for sure. Okay. Back in 2012, as weird as it sounds and how I really don't even want to say it, but my best friend was murdered. To this day, like, the small group of friends that, you know, that circle that we ran with, we all still go through our, you know, mourning times every now and then. We're not the same, but ever since then, like, well, 2 days after, there was, how do I explain this? I was trying to take a picture of the Ten Commandments in the Bible. You know, thou shalt not commit murder. It was dark in my room. I turned the light on. I started looking through the pages. I remember I was like laying down. I had to have been crying or something. I had the music loud. It was like the day after everyone just found out. The thing is, I when I took that picture, I was like sitting on my bed. I had the Bible laid down across my laps. I was moving my leg, my right leg, to, you know, position over my left knee to lay the Bible flat across to have a better position, better angle. I took the picture, but the thing is, I think when I was moving, like, I didn't really take a picture of the page. Well, after that, then I did. But when I was looking at the pictures, I had to turn the light off because it really did look like a picture of my friend, and then also of the way that she was found. And I showed it to my mom. She freaked out. I showed it to my sister. She freaked out. I showed it to her brother. He kind of thought, like, if I took a picture of her or if I was there that night, I had to explain to him, no, that I wasn't there. Like, this is a picture of my, you know, the Bible. It really did look like her. But her mom, even though she thought the same thing, they were thinking as if I was there that night of what happened to her. But no, I felt like she was trying to tell me, hey, you guys, like, everything's okay, look where I'm at. Like, I even though what happened, I felt like that was them trying so hard to just come across or to get me to understand, either that or if it was God trying to say, no, you know, don't worry anymore, you know, stop crying, she's here, like, look, you tried to take a picture of a page in the Bible, but it looks like your friend. And ever since then, I just knew that, I mean, even when family members have passed away, but that was more of a different story. They died because of health problems. But, you know, I felt like the way she passed away, even other times where we all had, you know, little ceremonies, we would, you know, be drinking, we would all be in the back of, you know, her house with her family, all of us as friends, you know, as support. And there were orbs in the pictures, little fake, like a smoke figure that looks like if someone's raising their arm, holding it, you know, like if someone's, we all had like shot glasses in the air all together as a group, and looked like if she was probably there with us. I mean, there are so many situations, little coincidences. It just goes to show, you know, in my, at least in my perspective, I don't know about other people, but yeah, I started recently listening to your podcast. You guys are fucking awesome. All your fucking callers, your fans, your EPPs, you guys are pretty cool. It is badass to hear other people talk about their stories and experiences. Usually where I'm from, people are very judgmental and they don't want to hear that type of, or I don't know, nobody really likes to talk about it over here. But yeah, I've really been enjoying it. The thing is, I just had a question about becoming an EPP, because all I have really is just my phone right now. Barely got my own apartment. Money's tight. I don't have a running internet on a computer, but I was going to ask, if I do become an EPP, is that the only way I'm going to be able to listen to the extra episodes? Because there are a lot of pictures and like videos that I want to show you guys. I think I need to sign up. Would I be able to, is there an app that I'd be able to download where I can like listen to everything? All right. Thank you guys.
All right. To answer your question about using the EPP website on a mobile device, it's very simple. Our EPP website is mobile friendly. You just you log into it. You get a username and a password when you sign up, and you log in, and then you have the option where you can either stream the EPP episodes right there, or you can also download them, just like old school MP3 downloads.
Yeah.
You know, you download the MP3 and you can open it up in the player of your choice, whether that be, you know, the iTunes player or insert music player of your choice here. So there's a couple ways to do it. Super simple. You don't even need an app. You just go right there. You stream it or you download it, and it's yours. And that's how it works. You get access to all the bonus episodes and the video stuff you're talking about. Yep, get access to that too. And on, you know, most smartphones that are able to play a video, because YouTube is actually the player that we use for all these. If you're able to play a YouTube video, you'll be able to play any of the video content that we have up there for you, for our EPPs. So there you go.
There you go.
As our littlest one would say. There you go. I'm going to check and make sure if your, see if your pants are wet. That's what she said to me the other day. I posted that video on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we were just sitting there. The other day we were sitting in the kitchen and having a little tea party. She thoroughly enjoys her tea parties. And there was a big bag of stevia over there, the sugar stuff. And she was just talking about it and talking away. And I thought, I'm just going to set my phone up and press record, because this is a really cute little moment of her just, you know, chatting at her tea party. And hilarity ensued.
Mm-hmm.
Where then she insisted immediately that I go to the bathroom, and I knew exactly why she wanted me to go, so she could get her hands on the bag of sugar. And she keeps looking at the, it looks like she's looking at the phone, but she's looking at the bag of sugar, which is right behind the phone. and she's insisting that I go to the bathroom. And I tell her no. And then I eventually tell her I just peed my pants. And then she has this look of horror on her face of, just peed your panties?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Anyway, it's on our Facebook page if you want to check it out. It was fun. And that is indeed the one who told the no-noggin story.
Yes.
On our Halloween episode. Because people were asking, is that no-noggin girl? That is no-noggin girl. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want to keep it on the air, sign up to be an EPP, as you've been hearing about on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps this thing on the air. So we thank you in advance for doing that. And if you already are, thank you. You are helping to keep this thing alive well into 2016. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski, and thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.